This is the San Francisco Experience with your host, Jim Herlihy. Independent news commentary with a California perspective. Season 8, Episode 16. Elon Musk reads books. What makes him tick? Elon Musk is one of the wealthiest entrepreneurs in the world. With a net worth of $152 billion, his corporate interests are broad, ranging from electric cars, rockets, solar energy, payments, the Hyperloop, and artificial intelligence. Such a broad span of businesses requires a breadth of knowledge and management expertise that's hard to fathom. How does he master such diverse subjects and do it all so well? Well, he answered that question for us. First of all, he thinks and he acts on a grand scale. When asked how he became an expert in rockets, for instance, for his SpaceX company, he responded, and I quote, "I read books," unquote. Not only is he an avid reader with a broad interest in different subjects, he makes the time to read, he's curious, he reads several hours daily, but he absorbs the subject matter and he's able to apply what he learns to expand his horizons into new fields, mastering and applying that new knowledge and founding new companies. In today's episode, we're going to showcase a few of the books that have been inspirational for Musk and illustrate the power of seeking and applying new knowledge, something all of us can learn from. But who is Elon Musk? He was born in 1971 in Pretoria, South Africa. By the time he was 10, he developed an interest in computers, teaching himself how to code and to program. By the time he was 12, he'd sold his first software company called Blastar. It was a computer game. As a youngster, he was short, nerdy, and introverted, and he was bullied mercilessly at school. But by the time he was 15, he had gone through a growth spurt, and he'd learned karate and wrestling to defend himself. In 1989, he relocated to Canada to join his mother, who had divorced his father when he was 10. There, in Canada, he enrolled at Queen's University, in part to escape the South African military draft and to become a Canadian citizen. By 1992, he'd left Canada to study business and physics at the University of Pennsylvania. He graduated with 2 degrees, one in economics, the other in physics. He was accepted into the PhD program at Stanford University to study physics, but he dropped out after only 2 days to found his first company called Zip2, which created city guides in the early internet days in 1995. Zip2 was acquired for $34 million in 1999. He used those proceeds to found an online payment company, which eventually became PayPal, and he sold PayPal to eBay for $1.5 billion in 2002. He's been divorced twice, he has 6 sons, and he's currently partnered with Canadian musician Grimes. He's founded and has controlling interest in a number of companies, including Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, SolarCity, OpenAI, The Boring Company, and DeepMind. Musk is reputed to have an IQ of 155. Anything over 150 is considered to be genius level. Einstein, for instance, was estimated to have an IQ in the range of 160 to 180. But Elon Musk's IQ, when measured against those of his Silicon Valley tech industry contemporaries, is quite comparable. Mark Zuckerberg, for instance, has an IQ of 152. Bill Gates has an IQ of 160. And the late Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, had an IQ of 160. IQ measurements, of course, are still somewhat controversial. In all the cases I've cited, however, the measured IQ are above the key 150 genius threshold. But the other element of IQ, in other words, applied knowledge or applied IQ, where one's intelligence is applied to problem solving, to the creation of extraordinary and disruptive technologies and systems, is where Musk and his contemporaries have excelled, where they've used their applied IQ to found companies and to commercialize new technologies. Elon Musk and the other Silicon Valley luminaries have clearly succeeded in the category of applied IQ. Nikola Tesla, for whom Musk named his electric car, is reputed to have had an off-the-charts IQ ranging from 160 to 310. He invented the Tesla coil, FM radio, among other inventions. However, he died penniless in a New York hotel in 1943. So, notwithstanding his high IQ and his ability to commercialize his inventions, he wasn't able to make a financial success of it. Elon Musk's taste in reading runs from biographies of iconoclastic inventors like Benjamin Franklin, Albert Einstein, and Steve Jobs, to science fiction and futurism, as well as engineering and emerging science like artificial intelligence. We'll focus on three of Musk's favorite books before we get into his obsession with artificial intelligence. The classic Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith is an influential study of economics, and it explains how nations become wealthy and thereby their citizens. In summary, Adam Smith advocated that by allowing individuals to freely pursue their own self-interest in a free market without government regulation, nations will prosper and so will their citizens. Without question, Musk and his companies have all benefited from light-touch U.S. government regulation. But Tesla and SpaceX especially have enjoyed government largesse too. Tesla car sales, for instance, are boosted by U.S. government tax subsidies. And SpaceX has long-term contracts with NASA to ferry U.S. astronauts into outer space and the International Space Station. And the heavier hand of California's regulatory culture has prompted Musk to relocate personally and some of his corporate interest to pro-business, more free market-friendly Texas. His relocation to the Lone Star State aligns more closely with Adam Smith's free market philosophy. Again, a good example of following Smith's guidance. The second book that we've chosen as part of Elon Musk's library is the Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson. And Steve Jobs has given Elon Musk a role model of sorts to follow in Silicon Valley. Like Musk, Steve Jobs made his own way in the tech industry, creating iconic Apple, and then being fired by the board and sent into exile. Though even in corporate exile, Jobs' creativity could not be suppressed, and he took on a founding role in the company Pixar. When Apple began to stumble and stagnate under the leadership of CEO John Sculley, the board summoned Jobs to return, and he, of course, oversaw the invention of the most disruptive technology of the 21st century, the iPhone, which arrived just in time to take advantage of the internet. Musk, in many ways, has followed and outdone the audacious, adventurous, and creative life of the innovative entrepreneur that Steve Jobs was. And of course, Elon Musk has even sprinkled some Hollywood stardust, enlivening his career with his marriage to starlets and even an appearance on Saturday Night Live. In that regard, he's not unlike the newspaper baron and publisher William Randolph Hearst, who hosted Hollywood parties and starlets at Hearst Castle on the mid-California coast in the early 20th century. The third book that is reflective of Elon Musk's taste in books is Merchants of Doubt by Naomi Oreskes and Eric Conway. This book highlights some of the leading scientific debates on the environment, smoking, and nuclear weapons, and how a few vocal but prominent scientists have exaggerated and misrepresented these issues, often with the aid of the mainstream media to aid corporate interest as well as political agendas. Musk himself has been critical of the COVID lockdowns of 2020 and 2021, arguing that the universal shutdown and close down of society was draconian and heavy-handed. Those at risk of contracting COVID-19, he argues, should have been quarantined, but not healthy and younger citizens. Further, Musk has gone on to say that neither he nor his children will get the COVID vaccine. So once again, Elon Musk is going against the grain with regard to majority opinion. But it's the field of artificial intelligence and two books that have been key to his views in this emerging science of AI, artificial intelligence. The books are Human Compatible by Stuart Russell and Life 3.0 by Max Tegmark. In Human Compatible, author Stuart Russell explains why the creation of artificial intelligence could be humanity's final act. The book focuses on the potential catastrophe that society is heading towards and discusses what we need to do to avoid it. In Life 3.0, author Max Tegmark writes about the importance of controlling artificial intelligence and keeping it beneficial for mankind. He wants to ensure that technological progress remains aligned with humanity's goals for the future. It's one of the few books on artificial intelligence that says it could be used for the good of mankind, not for the evil, and not for the demise of mankind, as many of the other books on artificial intelligence argue. Stanley Kubrick's prophetic 1968 film, A Space Odyssey 2001, portrayed an out-of-control computer, the HAL 9000, which of course was out of control and out to destroy mankind. But the doomsday scenarios that Musk discusses when talking about artificial intelligence are closer technologically to accidentally happening, and hence he's sounding the alarm. Musk believes that superintelligence will happen within 5 years, but that issue is not properly understood. Artificial intelligence can make better decisions than humans with its algorithms. If artificial intelligence is smarter than us, we may lose control of it. Elon Musk's new company, Neuralink, seeks to implant a brain chip in human brains. That has not yet been attempted. I believe that initial trials have been on lab rats, but not on human beings. But that is the intent. Artificial intelligence, of course, has no emotions of benevolence or malevolence. The concept of technology singularity, when artificial intelligence overtakes human intelligence, is something that we should be concerned about. Ray Kurzweil, the futurist, says that we will reach that singularity before 2045, in other words, in less than 25 years. AI, according to Elon Musk, must not be other, it must be us. He argues that we need to merge with artificial intelligence or be left behind. And in a sense, aren't we already merging with artificial intelligence with our iPhones, our iPads, the fact that we tend to be so glued to them and so dependent on the software and the technologies in our smartphones and iPhones? Google has a subsidiary in London which is developing digital superintelligence. It's called DeepMind, and it's something you should keep your eye on. I'd also commend to your attention watching Elon Musk's video on artificial intelligence. It's entitled Implications and Consequences of Artificial Intelligence. You can look it up on YouTube, and you can hear Musk speak for himself. And finally, I think we're all interested in ensuring that as artificial intelligence does develop, that it develops ethically and within ethical bounds. In summary, Elon Musk's natural curiosity has drawn him to read books and to absorb and to apply that knowledge in new inventions and corporate endeavors. And we wish him luck and hope that he does likewise with his AI company, Neuralink. Stay tuned and follow what he does in the field of artificial intelligence, and particularly follow what he's reading. And for my listeners, please take a moment to visit our website, www.thesanfranciscoexperiencepodcast.com, and subscribe to the podcast. It's free to do so, and by subscribing, you can listen to the 158 past episodes, read my blog, send me an email, peruse my book, or make a comment. This has been the San Francisco Experience with your host, Jim Herlihy, reporting to you from America's favorite city, San Francisco.